Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Exploring Norway's wild coast today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host Campbell in the studio today as we tackle the second part of our August travel article. Campbell, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell us, what are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about a trip to Norway. Now, neither of us have been to Norway, but the way this is being described, it sounds like a beautiful but dangerous place.
Yeah, particularly the end of yesterday's lesson where they were talking about, what was the term? Maelstroms and vortices.
Actually, there was a phrase there that we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday, and it was really interesting. I was talking about how the boat pitched and rocked and our motor seeming at times to wrestle with the strait for control of our destiny. What does that mean?
Which part? That's a very long sentence. The control of our destiny?
Wrestle with the strait for control of our destiny. I feel like that's a very interesting description there.
I suppose the control of the destiny, and this actually will be familiar to many of our listeners because we have talked about destiny on the program a number of times, but the idea is basically like, what is going to happen to you?
Yeah.
Right? Control of your destiny means who is controlling what is going to happen to you. In this case, it's not you, it's the people in this small boat.
Right.
And the engine on the small boat is fighting with the ocean.
Yeah.
To see who is strong enough to steer and control the boat.
Right. So either you're going to survive or you're going to get pulled into the vortice.
Yeah. If the engine is strong enough, you know, it can take the boat where the boat captain or the driver wants to go.
Right.
And if the ocean is stronger, then
bye-bye.
Good thing you're wearing that special suit that they talked about, right? The suits they were donning, the protective suits to keep them safe if they fell out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had this adventure. We learned that basically our writer was looking for the authentic or the real Norway, a uniquely Norwegian experience.
Right.
And so he found it on this, it was a cruise ship, but it was also a ferry ship.
Mm-hmm.
Or a ferry boat. What do we say? Ferry boat. Mm-hmm. Cruise ship.
Yeah.
I guess you can avoid that problem by saying cruise or ferry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just cutting out the type of vessel altogether.
Yep.
What was that all about? Why is it both a cruise and a ferry?
Well, it's a cruise in the sense that there are tourists and people on vacation that kind of pay to stay on the ship for 6 nights, and they travel and they explore and they go on adventures. But at the same time, there are locals. Again, these are people who live along the fjords in these harbor towns, and they use these ships to kind of get between the towns, right? There are probably no bridges, no ways for them to drive across to the other towns. So they have to get on this ship, boat, and be able to travel to where they need to go.
Okay. So there's going to be a mix of both local people. Actually, the writer did mention meeting local people.
Yep.
But also tourists. So you'll have some local language, but also a lot of local Norwegian sort of language, and they talk about that too. All right. Well, as we head into today's article, you will note, listeners, that we're going to do 3 readings. And if you have your August magazine, I would encourage you to open it up and join us. Campbell is going to do the reading for us. He's bravely volunteered to pronounce the unpronounceable words. And so we're looking forward to that. If you don't have a magazine, I would encourage you to pause the program and pick one up. It's good for your learning, and it's also the easiest way to support us here at Advanced Radio. So without further delay, let's get into our first reading, which you'll find under the title, A Chilling Ritual.
A Chilling Ritual. Not long after, aboard the Richard With, we celebrated our crossing of the Arctic Circle. Here was I welcomed into my geographic rite of passage by our ship's captain, who poured ladles of ice down my back to the cheers of fellow passengers. And I got a certificate. Our largest excursion group of the trip arrived at the North Cape, the northernmost point on the European continental landmass. A pedestal-mounted skeletal globe marks the spot.
Okay, so our title here, A Chilling Ritual, It kind of has two meanings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, famously, I don't know how familiar you are with this. Famously, sailors are superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this?
I do not.
Okay. They're among, in the popular imagination.
Right.
Historically, maybe.
Yes.
Sailors were super superstitious,
mm-hmm.
meaning they were very concerned about luck and bad luck.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is because, the ocean seems to be vastly beyond your control much of the time.
Yes, very temperamental.
So they were worried about bad luck and things like that. Mm-hmm. And in consequence, there have been a lot of rituals and traditions that mm-hmm. developed specially for people at sea.
Right.
In particular, the famous ones you can sort of think about are people who are crossing the equator for the first time, mm-hmm. or in this case, crossing the Arctic Circle for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So this ritual thing, it's like a traditional ceremony that you do.
Yeah.
But when you describe something as chilling, usually it means it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my initial thought when I read this title. Is this something that's scary?
What are they killing on this boat?
Yeah. We talk about horror movies or horror films being chilling, or they kind of send a chill down your spine.
Yeah.
We use that phrase.
I think probably a chill did go down the writer's spine here, but for a very different reason, as we see as we read it. So not long after.
So he survived.
Not long after what?
Well, the
vortex.
Trip, the vortex.
Yeah, boat trip into the dangerous tidal waters.
Yes.
He survived now. He's back on the cruise ship aboard the Richard With, which again is the name of this ship. They celebrated their crossing of the Arctic Circle. So that's like the equator, but it's at the north,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The Arctic Circle. Here, the writer was welcomed into the geographic rite of passage by the ship's captain. Now, a rite of passage, usually we use that when we're talking about people who are kind of growing up.
Right. Boys becoming men.
Yeah. Or girls becoming women, presumably, right?
Yes.
But a rite is another word. You can actually see it in that word ritual. It's mm-hmm. a word for ceremony.
Right?
Some kind of test or, thing that people do to symbolize the importance of this change in your life. So the captain has done this. Now, what did the captain do to take our writer through this rite of passage?
Right. Well, I think also the fact that it's a geographic rite of passage, meaning that it's kind of to mark the crossing of Arctic Circle, right? Just the idea that, that they accomplished this task of crossing this. So they are now in this geographic place. They've done it. And now they're going to do this rite of passage, which is to pour ladles of ice down people's backs to the cheers of fellow passengers.
So you're saying the geographic part means that our writer is suggesting that they did not become more mature as a result of this.
No.
Because they were just dumping ice down each other's
exactly.
backs. Okay.
Yes.
So there was no sort of spiritual growth
or
coming to understand the secrets of the universe.
Coming of age, no. It was more just the fact that they reached a certain location on the planet.
Dumping ladles of ice. Now, a ladle, of course, that's the spoon you use to pick up soup out of a big
mm-hmm.
pot, right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of picking up ice and dumping it down people's backs. Other passengers, of course, are cheering. And then the writer gets something.
He gets a certificate.
Yeah.
How nice.
Proof. Proof that he has passed through this rite of passage. Yeah. You can understand how people would like to do this.
Yeah.
Probably another highlight for the cruise ship. Yeah.
People, but not me. I don't think I would have enjoyed
it. You wouldn't go for this?
No, I don't think I
would
enjoy it. Come
on, you've been doing e-report for years. You'd get sucked in. Our largest excursion group of the trip. So now when you go on an excursion, it's an outing, right?
Yes.
Like a field trip from school. Basically arrived at the North Cape, which is the northernmost point on the European continental landmass.
Mm.
Northernmost point, we understand that. What's the European continental landmass?
Well, Europe, you know, we're talking about Italy, you know, mm-hmm. Norway is part of it, Spain, that continent of Europe. Mm-hmm. So this huge landmass, this is the northernmost point of it.
Yeah, I think the key with that landmass term there is that you can drive to the other parts.
Yes.
Or you could travel overland to them.
Right.
There may be other things like islands, mm-hmm. but this is, you know, the big blob of Europe.
Exactly.
This is the northernmost point. And there's something there.
Yep.
A pedestal-mounted skeletal globe marking the spot. So pedestal-mounted, a pedestal is basically like a short pillar that you stand something up on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's mounted on it, so it's attached to it.
Right.
It's a skeletal globe, meaning it's just kind of the lines that make
right.
up the globe.
Yeah.
You could put your hand into the middle of it,
exactly.
if you will.
Yes.
And that's, you know, the way they've marked the spot. So I guess this is like, yay, we made it. We're at the top, right? I
yeah.
guess that's what it is.
Yeah, or just kind of letting people know this is the northernmost spot.
Like now we turn the boat around.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Even in this very remote sort of spot, though, you have reminders of history. People have been all over Europe in all kinds of ways. In this case, particularly, reminders of war. And we get into that in our second reading. Let's do that together now.
Reminders of War. We returned to the Richard With and steamed eastward through the Barents Sea. Near 1,000 feet below us lay the mangled wreck of the German battlecruiser Scharnhorst, sunk by the Royal Navy on December 26, 1943. We disembarking passengers left early the next morning for Kirkenes, population 3,400. The town, which lies on Norway's short eastern border with Russia, is supported by two notable sources of trade: tourism and espionage. It enjoys an international reputation as a quiet and inviting den of spies, with Russian agents trying to keep an eye on NATO and the West appropriately returning the favor. During the Second World War, when Norway was occupied by the Germans, the Soviet Union bombed the town often, appropriately. The first stop on our tour was the large, dark, and cold bunker that could house a good portion of the population during raids.
Okay, so throughout this section, we are reminded, basically by visiting sites or being told of tourist sites in the area that are reminders of the Second World War. Basically, the passengers returned to the Richard With and steamed eastward through the Barents Sea. And I assume this next part, they couldn't go visit it, right? Because mm-hmm. it was underwater.
Right.
So this is the sort of thing like where on the cruise ship, everybody gathers on the deck.
Right.
Maybe there's some, there wouldn't be fireworks in this case
because no.
they're not celebrating, but there's like an announcement.
Right.
You know, we're now sailing over the spot where.
Yeah.
And so what is this site that is below the waves?
Well, it says here nearly 1,000 feet below lay the mangled wreck of the German battlecruiser Scharnhorst.
Yeah.
And it was sunk by the Royal Navy on December 26th, 1943.
No, it's a mangled wreck. Mangled basically means it's
destroyed.
If not torn apart,
yeah.
it's not in a recognizable form, presumably because they were sinking it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, as there was this naval battle on this site and this German ship sank. Okay. They continue on with their voyage and they get off. Or some people disembark. They disembarked passengers. We disembarking passengers. Help me out. Sort this out for me here, Campbell. Who is getting off the boat and who is not getting off the boat?
Well, again, presumably there are probably guests on the boat that are, you know, maybe they don't want to visit certain places, or maybe they're tired and they just want to stay on the ship. There's also the locals that are maybe traveling to other ports of call. So not everybody is getting off the boat. So the ones that are getting off the boat, the ones that are disembarking, they left early the next morning for Kirkenes. And this is a small town, population of 3,400. And there's something very interesting about this town.
Yeah, I would say here, I don't think we've stumbled across this word disembark before.
No.
You just mentioned very clearly, though, embarking means you're getting on the boat.
Yes.
Disembarking means you're getting off.
Yeah.
And we've talked before about ports of call, which is like places where the boat stops.
Yeah.
And so this is one of those ports of call. The writer says, we disembarking passengers, which means the writer was getting off.
Correct.
Not everybody was getting off. You didn't have to get off. But if you wanted to get off, you could get off for a while. So the writer gets off early the next morning for this town you mentioned. It's a small town. The town lies on Norway's short eastern border with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea Norway had a border with Russia.
I didn't know either.
Yeah. I mean, I knew Finland did.
Right.
I don't know if Sweden does.
No.
But Norway clearly does.
Yeah.
And so this is another reminder of war, the Cold War, I suppose, in this case, right?
Right.
Because this town sort of makes its living with two different industries. One you can kind of expect because there's a cruise ship there.
Right.
The other one's a little bit more of a surprise.
Right.
So tourism, the expected one, and espionage. What is that?
Espionage, basically, when you think about spies, right? So the definition we give is the activity of secretly finding out secret information and giving it to a country's enemies or company's competitors, right? So again, this idea of spies. It sounds a little bit like a, I don't know, like a James Bond movie kind of thing.
I feel like James Bond did not go this far north.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Or he might have
right.
preferred not to. He was more of a beach person.
Yes.
Nonetheless, in this town, you know, historically, there have been a lot of Russian agents.
Hmm.
So trying to keep an eye on NATO. So trying to find out about what NATO is doing, presumably because the two are actually in physical contact along that border.
Yeah.
Right? There were a lot of countries in between Russia and NATO countries most of the time, kind of buffers, if you will. But in this case, they're right together. So these Russian agents were trying to keep an eye on what NATO was doing. And the West, which is another way of saying NATO, was appropriately returning the favor. Now, when you return the favor, it just means you do the same thing back that was done to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's positive. Like usually the language right. is very positive.
Right.
But sometimes it's used kind of sarcastically.
Right.
Like I think in this case, like, you know, if you helped me out with a project
yeah.
and then I helped you out,
yeah.
I would say, oh, don't worry about it, man. Just returning the favor.
Right.
Meaning you did a good thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a good thing back.
Yeah.
But I suppose if you, I don't know, let the air out of my tires as a funny joke.
Yeah.
And then I did the same to you. I could say, I'm returning the favor, Campbell.
Right. Yes.
And more of a sarcastic sort of meaning.
Right. So I think basically what's happening here is there are people that are going there to visit as tourists, but there are also people who are setting up clandestine meetings, right?
Or maybe they're going there as tourists, but they're really spies.
Yes, that too.
The games they play. It goes on to tell us that during the Second World War, when Norway was occupied by the Germans, the Soviet Union bombed the town often. Mm-hmm. Now, hang on here. This you're going to have to explain to me. The Soviet Union bombed the town often, appropriately. The first stop on our tour was the large, dark, cold bunker. Now, are they saying they bombed the town appropriately?
No.
Or that appropriately, the first stop was the bunker?
Yes, appropriately, the first stop was the bunker.
Phew. Meaning punctuation changes meaning, say?
It does, yes.
There you go. That semicolon there tells you that Campbell is laying it out honestly for you listeners.
Yes.
Okay, so why is it appropriate that they stop at this bunker?
Well, since it is, you know, so well known as a town that the Germans, or so that the Soviet Union bombed so often, you know, that's what it's famous for. So appropriately, the first place that they visit is a bunker, which is where they would go if, you know, let's say some bombs were threatening to attack.
It's kind of a safe bomb shelter,
yes,
right? Where people can go. And in this case, it's a good portion of the population could go there during these bombing attacks, these raids.
So we assume that probably around a few thousand people could stay in the bunker.
Yeah. Okay. That brings us to our third reading, putting it all together. It's kind of like a summary as we come towards the end of our program. Let's do our third reading together.
Putting it all together. I spent the night in the snow hotel, an ice hotel of the kind where you literally can sleep in a large igloo. I chose a conventional, comfortable cabin instead, heated to room temperature. I flew back to Oslo to the Munch Museum, where the works of Norway's famously gloomy and brilliant artist, Edvard Munch, are on permanent display. It all seemed to fit, oddly enough. The fjords with their majesty, maelstroms, the modern interruption of daily life brought on by war, and the brooding, humanizing power of great Nordic art. I had done what I set out to do, got an authentic understanding of this austere and yet graceful nation.
All right, so Campbell, when you put things all together, you're not like assembling things or fixing things like a table from IKEA.
No. Right? You're connecting different things and just kind of organizing it all together.
Your thoughts, your
yes.
understanding.
Right.
Okay. So we're told that our writer spent the night in the snow hotel. I feel like this is famous.
It is.
You've
it
heard
is.
About this
yes,
before.
Yes, yes.
Okay. They go on to basically describe it as an ice hotel.
Right.
Of the kind where you literally can sleep in a large igloo. When they say literally there, they mean you actually sleep in a large
igloo. Yeah, I mean, the snow hotel basically is a hotel built out of ice.
Okay.
Kind of the way that igloo is a house or a home built out of ice. So you are literally sleeping in a large igloo.
Now, is it just igloos or is there also like a normal building that is not built out of ice?
Apparently, there's also a normal building not built out because the writer here chose a conventional, comfortable cabin instead, heated to room temperature.
Okay.
So he opted out of actually sleeping inside the ice hotel.
So when they say conventional, they mean like normal in the
normal.
Way that you would find it anywhere else.
Right, right. When you think of a hotel, kind of that standard idea of what a hotel would be.
Okay, but it is a cabin.
Yes.
Which suggests it's kind of like a little log structure.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because you also have cabins on ships.
Yes.
So small room of some kind. It was heated to room temperature. What temperature would you say room temperature is? Because if you're in an igloo, it's going to be a lot colder.
It's going to be a lot colder. Right. So I would say, I don't know, maybe 26, 7 degrees Celsius.
Like that's really hot
really?
For room temperature.
Yeah,
but, okay. So my point here being, listeners, that this is a very flexible term.
Yeah.
But it kind of means a temperature where you're comfortable enough to take off your coat.
Yeah.
You're not sweating.
Right.
It's sort of a controlled climate.
Yes.
Is
well,
the idea.
I mean, presumably you're up in the north. It's in the middle of the winter probably, and it's probably below zero in certain places.
I think the key term here is comfortable.
Yes.
Because the writer is contrasting this with the option of sleeping in a frozen igloo room.
Yes.
Where I assume you're kind of bundled up
yeah.
in sleeping bags and layers
yes.
of insulation,
yes.
et cetera, just to not die.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Then our writer flies back to Oslo to, now you pronounce this in an interesting way. There's a famous Canadian writer
right.
who pronounces the name Munch, as in Robert Munch.
Mm-hmm.
But you said Munch.
Yes.
Okay. So this is like the Norwegian pronunciation, the Munch
yes.
Museum.
Yeah.
It's basically built around an artist named
yes.
Edvard Munch, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's famous for gloomy and brilliant paintings.
Right.
Now, when they say brilliant here, do they mean brightly colored or do they mean like genius?
Genius.
Okay.
Yeah.
But gloomy.
Gloomy.
Which is kind of dark, sad,
yeah, dark,
serious.
Yeah, eerie kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So serious, I would say that's probably a reflection on the north.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, we talked yesterday about the land of the midnight sun.
Right.
But they also have just 24-hour darkness
right.
for other parts of the year.
Yeah.
Right? It can be
Right.
Yeah,
I think one of his most famous paintings, I think it's called The Scream. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yes. That
that guy sort of standing on a dock,
yeah.
holding his face.
Right, yeah.
Screaming.
Yeah. So that's, I believe he is the artist of
okay.
that.
Okay. So now, his paintings are the permanent display here, meaning you can see them anytime if you go
mm-hmm.
when the museum is open. Maybe other things sometimes, but these are always there. And that visit to the museum seemed to fit, oddly enough, the beautiful landscape, the
right.
fjords with their majesty, the maelstroms, and the modern interpretation of daily life brought on by war. So some of those things are obviously beautiful. Some of them are much darker,
mm-hmm.
right? And this art seems to be a good fit for that. It says, the brooding, humanizing power of great Nordic art. Now, when you're brooding, what are you doing?
Mysterious and threatening, which I think it makes sense. It all kind of all carries a little bit of that mysterious and threatening feeling, right? The maelstroms are, they're mysterious. Like, what is making it swirl like that? And there's also that sense of like danger and threatening.
It's exciting, but you don't understand it. Yeah. And you could die.
Right. And then the idea of the war and the espionage, right? Because that's also very much like, oh, it's interesting. But, you know, is someone like spying on me, you know?
A feeling like your normal life is surrounded by constant danger.
Right. And then the art is also very mysterious. Like, oh, what is he trying to draw here? But there's also a sense of weirdness and eeriness to it.
Okay. So all in all, this tour, basically the writer tells us that he had done what he set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
He got an authentic understanding of this austere yet graceful nation. Now, when you describe something as austere, basically you're saying...
it's not flashy.
Simple.
Yeah.
Right? Minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Japanese architecture.
Right.
You know, those traditional houses?
Yeah.
There's like nothing in them that you can see.
Yeah.
Right? Just one thing. That would be austere. So the land is kind of austere, and yet it is graceful. And so all of these experiences together give him a good taste of what Norway is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
You want to visit? You want to take this tour?
I think it sounds interesting. I'll be honest. It seems like there are other places that I would maybe priority. But if I had the time and the finances, I think at some time I would go.
I think for me, a lot of it depends on whether or not it's a business trip. And the expenses are paid. I would not hesitate to go if I had a free ticket.
All right.
Yeah.
Would you
even
go,
if I didn't?
Would you go into the strait with the vertices and the?
Oh yeah, I think that would be okay. Yeah, especially with the survival suit on.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go without, but you never know. Anyway, listeners, that brings us to the end of Real and Rugged Norway. Thank you so much for joining Campbell and I over the last 2 days. We hope you'll join us again soon for another Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Campbell.
Saying bye for now.
Bye-bye.